My life and my future. What I'd like to do this morning, turn to the last book of the Bible, which is the book of Revelation, and the last chapter of the book of Revelation. You know, everything has a destiny. Everything has a trajectory. Your life is heading in a certain way. History, somebody once said, is his story, God's story. God has a purpose for everything. History is unfolding in the prophetic word of God. Everything is moving in the direction that God wants it to move. And along that way, we as free moral agents, we have a decision to make. What kind of life am I going to live? Who am I? Am I a righteous person? Am I a wicked person? How do I know I'm righteous? How do I know I'm wicked? What kind of person am I in my life? Who am I? Do I get the right to make my own standards? Am I my own God? Can I decide whether I want to be male or female? Do I have that right? Am I my own God to decide what I want? The last book, the last chapter of the last book in the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 8. Now John, he's on the Isle of Patmos when he saw these things. He was put there by Rome as a prison island. That's where John was. And he was on the Lord's Day in Revelation chapter 1, caught up into heaven. And these are, the book of Revelation is what's going to happen in the future. It's given to us that the saints of God can know what God has got in mind here. My life and my future. John here in verse 8, we'll pick up the reading, Revelation 20. I, John, saw these things. And that means he's a witness. He experienced them. He saw them. And I heard them. When I heard and seen, I fell down and worshiped before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Now, I just want to stop here for a minute. Now, this is the Apostle John. Now, he saw this angel that testified of these things. So overpowering was this angel, so majestic, so glorious, so full of just power and might. And this is John that rests on Jesus' bosom. This is John that saw Jesus on the cross, and Jesus said to John, John, behold thy mother. Take care of Mary, my mother. That's John. And yet when this angel, his presence, it's so overwhelming, he just dropped to his feet. And I want to tell you something about God. An angel is powerful, but it's not God. But this angel is so powerful that John just dropped to his feet. And people trifle with God. Now, God made the sun. It shines 24/7 and lights this earth as it rotates. We get our hours. God made that sun. If you stare into that sun for hour after hour, you'll go blind. That's just the sun that he made. How powerful is God? There is no power but of God. God is majestic and all-powerful. God is a great God. He created heaven and earth and sea. He made all things. John fell at his feet of the angel. You know what the angel said in verse 9? He said, see, you don't do this. I'm your fellow servants. The angels serve God. God's people serve God. We're all servants of God that know God. I'm your fellow servant and of the brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. And the angel said to John, you know what you're to do? He said these next two words, worship God. God wants you to worship him. God wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what you should be doing as one that has lived in this world and has known the risen Christ and has Jesus Christ has come into your life as a truth. You worship God. Now, what does Satan want to get people to do? When Jesus tempted him in the wilderness, he said to him, fall down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of this earth. In other words, you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to suffer this. Just fall down and worship me and I'll give you all these things. What did Jesus say to him? Get thee what? Get thee hence, Satan. Thou shalt worship God and him alone. You can't make yourself a god. You don't want to worship Satan. He's not a god. You only worship the true God. Worship God. That's where all of history is accumulating. It's funneling down that way. the Antichrist, he's going to declare himself to be God one day. He's going to enter the temple. Now, there is no temple right now in Jerusalem, but there will be. It'll be rebuilt. And at that point in time, Satan's going to enter into the Antichrist is going to enter the temple and declare himself God. But you know what's going to happen to God's people? We're not going to be here. If you know God and you're safe from your sins, the rapture's going to happen. And guess where you're going? Man, that's pretty quiet out there. Where are you going? You're going up. And that's that hope. We're not going to go through the tribulation. Woe be to you if you go through the tribulation. Woe be to you. See, for the saints of God, we're going to be up in heaven worshiping God. Satan wants to get mankind to worship him. You know, 100 years ago, when people read the Bible and it said the Antichrist is going to control the world economy, you can't buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast. 100 years ago, they probably would have said, how can that be? How can that happen? Can you see how that would happen today? Can you see how the world economy can be controlled? You know, it's going to happen. And you know what Scripture says in verse 9? Last two words, you worship God. That's what the focus is. Verse 10, he said unto him, seal not the sayings of this prophet. The angel said to John, don't you seal this up. You tell people what's going to happen. Don't seal the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. That is not a commandment, but that is a statement of fact. Your character is going to determine your destiny. If you are a wicked, immoral person, and you don't get born again and changed by Jesus Christ, you're going to end up in the lake of fire one day. Because that is the nature of character. Your character gets set in its ways. What God says to you in verse 12, behold, I come quickly. Now, for young people, time can drag long. When you're young, you just can't wait to get your driver's license. Is that true? When you're a young man, you're 14, you can't wait to get your driver's license. 15, oh, am I 6? No, I'm 15, 8 months. I'm getting close to being, I can drive my, you know. But you get 70, 80 years old, tell me how fast time goes like that. And you get into eternity and time is like this. Time is coming quickly to an end here. And God wants us to be ready. He says, I come quickly. That can be any time. My reward is with me. My reward is with me. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to God that Jesus Christ is Lord. We looked at this verse in Sunday school. Look at John 17, 26 here for a moment. Turn to John 17, 26. 17:26. This is the Apostle Paul, Mars Hill, sharing the gospel with the Athenians. And he's made them of one blood, all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. We looked at this in Sunday school. And it's determined the times they're appointed, the bounds of their habitation, all these people groups where they should live, God's ordained. They should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. God sustains us. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. And certain of your own prophets have said, he quotes the Athenians, we are of his offspring. For as much as we are the offspring of God, creation of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold, silver, stone, graven art, or man's device. Not like idolatry. Men worship idols. In verse 30, this is what I want to point out. At times of ignorance, things that people did not know, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? What's that next word? Acts 17. Oh, did I say John? Acts 17. Just go over a book. Okay, so sorry. Got you all lost here. I'm like some GPSs. I can get you mixed up some here sometimes. Okay, John 17, no. Acts 17, yes. Okay, verse 30, this is where I'm going. I may not have the address right, but I had the house right, okay? I was at the right house, wrong address. At the time of this ignorance, God winked at, he overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. What does repent mean? Repent means you turn from your sins. In other words, you enjoyed your sin one time, you realized it was sinful before God, you told God you're sorry for your sins. That's to repent. You change your mind about it. You turn from sin to God. You repent. You change your mind about it. It's like somebody playing basketball and they create a foul and they raise their hand saying, I'm the one. In other words, when you repent, you agree with God. Yes, God, I've sinned against you. I agree with you. You acknowledge him. You're repenting. You're asking God to forgive you and you're turning from. God commands you to repent. And this is the reason, verse 31, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in what? Righteousness. Now, I want to camp there a minute. How good do you have to be to go to heaven? How good? Perfect. For all have what? Sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. If God demands perfection, and I'm not perfect, then I have no hope of what? Of heaven. God wants me to repent. He's going to judge the world in righteousness, but not by my standards. See, it's not my standards. And some people, they say, well, I just talked to a man the other day. And I asked him, I said, sir, his name is Mike. I said, Mike, I said, if a friend was to ask you how you go to heaven, what would you tell him? And he told me, well, you have to be good. You don't have to hurt anybody. And I thought to myself, Mike, that's the wrong what? Answer. Because my standard is not the same as God's standard. Ten Commandments. Just we'll work through just a few of them here. God says, thou shalt not lie. Have you ever told a lie? And if you say you've never lied, that's a lie in and of itself. Because I guarantee you, if you look far enough back, you've lied. Have you ever stolen anything? If you lie, what does that make you? A liar. If you steal something, what does that make you? A thief. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Have you ever committed adultery? Jesus says if a man looks at a woman to lust after him, he's committed what? Adultery. You know, the Bible says we're all under sin. None of us are good as God. If I gave you the good test and worked you down through the Ten Commandments, I guarantee you, you'd be a guilty sinner before God. Every mouth shall be stopped before him. Righteousness. He will judge the world in God's standards. Will you pass that test of righteousness? By that man whom he's ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from what? The dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The Bible testifies that. The apostles testified of that. The early church fathers testified of that. Circumstances testified of that. Do you think that the Pharisees, they didn't want Jesus to rise from the dead. They set a guard there. When he rose from the dead, if his body was still around, it would have been so easy just to stop Christianity. All they do is find the body. They couldn't find the body because it wasn't there. Men will not die for a lie. When the apostles were put to death one after the other for their faith in Jesus Christ, they will not. Would you die for a lie? Would you die for something you knew deep down inside was a lie? Would you die for that? I don't think so. And yet the apostles stood and said, Jesus rose from the dead. And that sealed their fate, and they died for it. They were crucified, some of them. Jesus rose from the dead. He appeared to over 500 people at one time. So back over here in Revelation, believe it or not, we're going to get to Proverbs here. So you're going to have to listen fast here this morning because we got a lot of ground to cover here this morning. We're going to get there. He said, my reward is with me to give to every man according to his work shall be. Now, why are we given Proverbs? Proverbs is given to us so we might know how to live as believers. It's the fine-tuning of our Christian life. Good things to do, what not to do. How am I going to live my life? Because one day I want to stand before God, and as a Christian, I want to receive a full reward. I want God to be pleased with my life. And the book of Proverbs is given to us that we might know the certainty of how we are to conduct the affairs of our life and how to live in such a way that on Judgment Day, we don't have to be ashamed. Because there's only two kinds of people in the world. Verse 13, Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, the last letter. He's the A to Z. He's everything. He's beginning and the end, beginning of the creation to the end of the world, the first and the last. He's everything. All power has been given. And he said, blessed are they which do his commandments. That's where we fit in as believers, because we know him and love him. We want to do his commandments. They may have a right to the tree of life and enter into the gates of that city. There are some people that think they're going to heaven, and they get to those pearly gates, and they're going to hear these words, I never knew you. Do you think that's going to be some disappointed people? Do you think that's going to be some words that you don't want to hear? How do we get right with God? We repent of our sins. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, our sin bearer. In the Old Testament, the lambs that were offered were a symbol of Jesus Christ coming, the ultimate sacrifice. John the Baptist saw Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away what? The sin of the world. For us, I'm guilty before God, but Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He walked this earth, he never sinned one time. When they tried to find sin in him, he challenged them, which of you convinces me of sin? And they couldn't do it. They could not find one sin. When he died on the cross, God took the sin of the world, my sin, and put it on Jesus Christ. And when I stand before God, I am clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Christ covers me with his righteousness. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for that, that you have a great God that's paid for your sins? Aren't you glad that when your loved ones die, that you're going to see them again in heaven? Aren't you glad that all your sins are covered and those that are in Christ will be together forevermore worshiping God? Isn't that a blessing? So how do I live my life? You know how I want to live my life? I want to be a righteous man. I don't want to be a wicked man. Because if I know and love God, I'm going to live a life that honors him. Now, is there pleasure in sin? Is there pleasure in sin? But it's only for what? A season. Yeah, you can enjoy your sin. Go ahead. Enjoy your sin. But when you die and go to hell, it's not going to be a party then. And see, for us, we know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We know that eternity is coming. My future, where is my future? Where will I spend eternity at? Well, turn to Proverbs here. There's so much in the Bible. It is like impossible to do a sermon sometimes. It's just like I could go, phew, phew. There's so much to cover here. Proverbs 13. We're just going to have to go through a few verses here out of what we had here this morning. Now, if I know and love God and I'm concerned about righteousness because God is righteous. See, people that don't know God, don't love, they don't care about righteousness. But I care about righteousness. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instructions. Why? Because they want to live right. God, you know, my father, now see, you can look at this two ways. You can say an earthly father or your heavenly father. You may not have an earthly father for whatever reason, but you have a heavenly father. A wise son heareth his father's instructions. You're taught by the word of God. If you had a godly father that knew and loved God, you're a blessed person. Because there's some first generational Christians that didn't have a godly example going this way. And if you had a Christian home that taught the word of God and feared God, you're blessed. But a wise son hears his father's instruction. How do I do life? And they listen. And see, that word heareth is not just audibly, oh, I heard the words, but it's in your heart saying, Father, I will do your words. That's hearing. If you hear audibly but don't do it, you didn't hear. Bible hearing means you hear it and you do it. A wise son heareth his father's instructions. Now, Proverbs teaches by contrast. But a scorner, a scoffer, heareth not a rebuke. It's not what the father says, son, stop this. You know what the son says? I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care what my dad says. That's a scoffer. They don't hear a rebuke. They don't care about why. Because their heart is not right with God. They don't know God. They're living for themselves. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They don't care. They don't hear a rebuke. If I want to be a righteous person, look at verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. What does that mean? Well, the words you say. When Jesus in Capernaum, they marveled that gracious words proceeded out of his mouth. They marveled. Where did this man get these words? Well, he was the Son of God. That's where he got them. But the gracious words, and a righteous person is going to have speech that's reflective of the Heavenly Father. They're going to speak well. They're not going to be a cursing man. They're not going to be a man that belittles people. They're not going to be a man that speaks ill of his wife or speaks bad toward her or makes her feel bad. If you're a man that can't control your mouth, but the soul of the transgressor, the unfaithful ones, shall eat violence. In other words, you'll feed on that which is destructive. Your words are destructive. You hurt people with your words. He goes on to say how we speak in verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth, a righteous person, you watch what you say. You watch how you say it. You watch what you say. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that opens wide his mouth, I'm just going to give this person a piece of my mind. You know, I've seen guys get in fights. One guy gets the mouth in at the other one mouths back, and then they get more angry. Next thing, they're fighting with each other. And it all started because somebody said something that wasn't good. You know, a righteous person will watch what they say. And you'll restrain yourself and refrain. Just because somebody insults you don't mean you have to insult them back. You just let it go sometime. That's wisdom. You know, a righteous person, God says, 6 days you shall work. Verse 4, the soul of the lazy person, the sluggard, desireth and has nothing. And so we looked at it some weeks ago, the law of the harvest, you reap what you sow. Soul of the sluggard desireth and has nothing. They have the desire, but they don't have the work to back it up. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You know, prosper. God wants us to work in a righteous way. You know, as God's people, we should be industrious with our hands. There's an old saying, idle hands are the devil's what? Workshop. This coronavirus has turned families upside down. Men aren't working. You know, our society, if you're working and you're prosperous, it keeps you out of trouble. But we don't want to be lazy. God's ordained men should work. Women take care of the home. We need to work with our hands and honor God. Verse 5, a righteous man hateth lying. You know, if you're righteous, does lies bother you? You know, some of these politicians, I listen to them, and I just know they're lying all over the place. Do you know what I'm saying? You hear that. Does that bother you when people are deceitful? It bothers me. Because God is a God of truth, and we speak truth. We don't lie as God's people. Because we're righteous. We want to be righteous. A righteous man hateth lying. And God's a wicked person is loathsome. God doesn't like a person that lies. And one day they're going to come to shame. Behold, your sin will what? Find you out. It's going to find you out. You're going to come to shame one day. Thing about a liar, if you tell a lie, you got to tell a lie to cover the lie, and then you got to tell a lie to cover that lie, and then you got to tell a lie to cover the lie that you lied back here. Best thing to do is just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth all the time, and then you don't have to worry about it. And I guarantee you this, if you're in an awkward situation and you've done something you ought not to do and somebody confronts you on it, the best thing to do is tell the truth. Because if you lie to cover yourself, and then you get found out later, it's just worse on yourself. And the best thing to do, if you've been caught doing something you shouldn't have done, just tell the truth. Yes, I'm the one. Get it out there. Because if you cover it up, oftentimes it'll come back to bite you later on. Verse 6, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way. You know, as we live our life, righteousness promotes righteousness that promotes righteousness that promotes righteousness. For a righteous person, you make a decision about the decision before the decision, so that the decision you make is the right decision. What that means is, what do you think? How am I going to live my life? Am I going to be a morally pure man? What does that mean? Well, that means that if I'm married and this is my wife, all other women are what? Unavailable. I don't flirt with them. I don't pursue them. I keep my boundaries because righteousness will keep you righteous. I heard a story some years ago. This man was eating in a restaurant, businessman traveling. This lady walked by, flipped a card on his desk, and it had her name and the room number. And he saw the card, saw the name, saw the room number, watched her walk up the stairs to the elevator, and he ate his dinner, and he went up to the room, knocked on the door, and it was a setup, because this guy was nationally known. When he walked in the door, they took his picture, blew his marriage up. I remember that being on the news. You know, righteousness promotes righteousness. If you're a righteous person and you get put in an awkward situation like that, you say to yourself, this is not right. I'm not going to do it. I want to be true to my wife. See, righteousness promotes righteousness. You live righteous, but you're going to do righteous. And as God's people, because eternity is coming and Jesus is going to reward every man according to his work, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthrows a sinner. In other words, if you're wicked in heart and you don't have your heart right with God, your sin is going to catch up with you one day. And believe me, in these days, Satan is throwing everything he can to bring young men down, to bring families down, to bring the culture down. He's just throwing stuff right and left. Well, I could go on. We don't have time, but verse 15, I just want to touch on that briefly. Proverbs chapter 13. Good understanding giveth favor. The way of the transgressor is what? Hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. I remember, now some states do this, some states don't. They have the electric chair for those that have committed murder or some horrendous crime. And there was, on the way to electric chair in this one state, they had a sign on the hallway as they walked by. And the sign said, the way of the transgressor is hard. And I thought, wow, what a statement. You know, that man's walking the electric chair and he sees that right there, the way of the transgressor is hard. You reap what you sow. And back over in Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life, what? Freely. You know, God gives an invitation. God gives an invitation to all mankind. Eternity is coming fast. Eternity is coming fast. My life, what trajectory am I on? Am I a righteous person? Do I want to live righteously? Or am I a wicked person that may try to live some righteous things at times, but inwardly I know I'm not saved. If I was to die today, I have no assurance I'm going to heaven. You know, we're all on a trajectory. Jesus Christ says, come. He's willing that anybody that wants to take of the water of life freely, what do you have to do? You just have to accept it. Salvation's like a Christmas gift under a tree. It's been bought and paid for. All you have to do is reach out and take it and say, I want this for me. I want to be saved from my sins. I want to die and go to hell in the lake of fire. And we can, God gives that to everyone. Well, let's pray here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what we've looked at from your word here this morning. And Father, in the quietness of this moment, God, the Holy Spirit is work in people's lives. And Father, if we are to be honest with ourselves, we know that we're all sinners. We've broken your commandments, God. None of us are as good as you or as perfect as you are, God. Lord, we've all lied and stolen and done so many other things that we're ashamed of if people would know what we've done. But Lord, I thank you that through Jesus Christ there's forgiveness of sins, that we can repent. Romans 2:4 says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. It's only God's goodness that we have this chance to repent and be saved. And Lord, you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you know this verse here this morning, say it along with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And fathers, many of us know that verse by heart. Many of us are saved here this morning. But if there's one here that's not saved, that doesn't know where they spend eternity at, I pray that this would be the day that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So, Lord, thank you for this time that we can have this invitation, and thank you for this time that we can look into your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.